नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 15, Text 10, Translation and Commentary. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Utkramantam sthitam vapi bhunjanam vagunanvitam vimurha nanu pashyanti pashyanti jnana chakshushah. Translation. The foolish cannot understand how a living entity can quit his body, nor can they understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all this. Purport. The word jnana chakshushaha is very significant. Without knowledge, one cannot understand how a living entity leaves his present body, nor what form of body he is going to take in the next life, nor even why he is living in a particular type of body. This requires a great amount of knowledge understood from Bhagavad Gita and similar literatures heard from a bona fide spiritual master. One who is trained to perceive all these things is fortunate. Every living entity is quitting his body under certain circumstances. He is living under certain circumstances, and he is joining under certain circumstances under the spell of material nature. As a result, he is suffering different kinds of happiness and distress under the illusion of sense enjoyment. Persons who are everlastingly fooled by lust and desire lose all power to understand their change of body and their stay in a particular body. They cannot comprehend it. Those who have developed spiritual knowledge, however, can see that the spirit is different from the body and is changing its body and enjoying in different ways. A person in such knowledge can understand how the conditioned living entity is suffering in this material existence. Therefore, those who are highly developed in Krishna consciousness try their best to give this knowledge to the people in general, for their conditional life is very much troublesome. They should come out of it and be Krishna conscious and liberate themselves to transfer to the spiritual world. Yesterday I spoke about Western philosophy or what is called philosophy, because the real problem is stated here in this purport. Although different philosophers claim to see the world in very different ways, for instance, Sigmund Freud saw the world in terms of the ego and the id, or the essence of the mind. That was the lens through which he saw the world. Marx saw the world, Karl Marx saw the world as through the prism of a class struggle, economic terms. There are various ways there. Different economic theories, psychological theories, and there are very different outlooks even among the various generic ways of looking at the world. For instance, in psychology it was all based on the mind, and then the mind got relegated in behavioral psychology and which is a completely different outlook. And then again, there's gestalt psychology and so many different things. But it's all all of it is on the basis of ignorance. So to build a philosophy on the basis of ignorance means, however sophisticated looking a construct it is, it's all doomed to failure. It won't get one any closer to understanding what the actual truth is. Philosophy is derived, the English word philosophy is derived from the Greek philosophia, love of truth. So without understanding that we're changing from body to body to body, then simply vimura. There should be some basic knowledge on which philosophy is developed. Vimura means a big fool. Just like in mathematics, if you make a basic mistake, then however sophisticated your theoretical understanding may be, it all works out wrong. As I often found in mathematics, when we're doing complex algebra and calculus, and I'd come up with solving a problem, I'd come up with an answer which was wrong, and I'd look through all my calculations, I couldn't find anything wrong, because I wasn't checking the arithmetic, I was just checking the mathematical formulae. But if you make one mistake in the arithmetic, the basic stuff, then all the rest goes wrong. So if you get the basics wrong, then everything is wrong. And even if you accept that there is rebirth, metempsychosis is the old term for the phenomenon of reincarnation. If we don't understand how this works, as stated here, then you get it all wrong. Then you're still foolish. In the Western world, there have been people who believed in reincarnation also, but they don't have any clear knowledge of it. Buddhists, they believe in reincarnation, but they don't believe in any Atma, which is, it's difficult to understand who or what gets reincarnated. But the general outlook in the Western world is based on the misunderstanding that we are the body and we are meant to enjoy it. And actually most Hindus and Buddhists, even though they superficially believe in reincarnation, and it does make a significant difference in their whole outlook compared to people who think that this life is all in all. But practically in day-to-day life, people are interested in the here and now, and they act as if they were the body. So even theoretical knowledge that we're not the body, which is not imparted in a very systematic way. If we see in modern Hinduism, there's no method of instruction for almost all children. It's banned in the schools to give any religious instruction. Of course, this is not really religious instruction. We're talking about facts here. But people have some vague idea, but they're vague, and it's vague as vague, because it's not discussed in the school, it's not discussed in the home, and therefore, because one is a Hindu, there's supposed to be some idea, which you might get from watching Mahabharata on TV and seeing how, I'm just giving an example here, seeing how, for instance, Amba, is it, gets reborn as what's his name, the one who wanted to kill Bhishma, Shikhandi, yeah. That was Amba, wasn't it? There's Amba, Ambalika, Ambika and Ambalika. The first one was Amba. So you, by hearing stories like this, you might imbibe some sense of this, but people, I don't know if they really think the Mahabharata is real, or even if they even get that far philosophically as even wondering whether it's real or not. So we have in the Western world not belief in reincarnation. That's the predominant worldview. And in Buddhism, accepting reincarnation but not accepting the existence of the Atma, which is weird. And in Hinduism, among people in the West who accept reincarnation, they're still much concerned with the here and now, more than understanding that if this life is just a blip in time, then what happens in this world is of no real importance unless it's related to the spiritual existence, to us, to its purification. Westerners of the general impression of India that's propagated is about the caste system and how bad it is, but the whole idea of Varnashram has to be understood in the light of previous. One is born in certain situations according to one's previous activities, and taking up from that point, one has to progress, and that's the whole idea of the Varnashram system. To artificially make someone who's not fit for it, to put them on the same level as someone who is fit to be an actual Brahmana, it doesn't help that person in his spiritual progress, and even in terms of human society it doesn't help also, because to try to make someone who could make a very competent rickshaw driver into a prime minister, for instance, or a doctor, which is more common with the modern reservation system, it doesn't work. And then people who are competent to be doctors, they can't get the place in the college because the reservation's there for people who are fit to be rickshaw drivers, and they're frustrated. And then the level of medical care for the society goes down. So there are all kinds of problems unless there is education in this point. And Srila Prabhupada writes here, those who are highly developed in Krishna consciousness try their best to give this knowledge to the people in general. So we might think that it's not required in India among the Hindus to preach about reincarnation, but it is required also. They don't know what's going on, or even if they do accept that there's reincarnation, but the implications of it they don't take very seriously. Real understanding begins with Vedanta. Atato brahma jignasa. One should inquire into the nature of reality. Spiritual reality, that we are spiritual living beings. We are not matter. We are not the body. So Vedanta is a well-known term in India. Very few people have any idea what Vedanta is all about. In Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, it's related that in the early days in New York, someone came up to Srila Prabhupada and said, "I am a Vedantist. I follow Vedanta." Prabhupada said, "Okay, tell me, what do you know any verse of Vedanta Sutra? Tell me, what's the first verse? First sutra of Vedanta Sutra." He had no idea. Probably never even heard there is a Vedanta Sutra. But just, "I'm a Vedanta." He says, "I follow Vedanta," means he probably had read a book by Vivekananda or something like this. But you have no clear idea. The idea of Vedanta, it's mostly mixed up with Mayavad. But so within Hinduism, even today, we have, even though very few people have any knowledge of the core texts or traditions that shaped that have given shape to the are the background of the present Hindu, what should we call it, phantasmagoria, kaleidoscope. The prominent strands are Vedanta, especially Mayavad Vedanta. Bhakti Vedanta is also, it's probably Bhakti. Bhakti propagated by pure Vaishnavas, Madhva, Ramanuja, Vallabh, Nimbarka, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers, and then a lot of the bhakti that goes on is by, in North India especially, is very much mixed up with Mayavad concepts, as in the Ramanandi Sampradaya, and then there's Kabir Pant and all this kind of thing. So not very clear idea of what bhakti is. But the whole basis is this understanding of birth after birth after birth. We're stuck in this material world and we get body after body after body according to our activities and our desires. And without understanding that, and not just because we're Hindus we accept it, but actually understanding it, then we remain vimurha, fools, big fools. So jnana chakshusha. Without knowledge, Srila Prabhupada writes, one cannot understand how a living entity leaves his present body, nor what form of body he is going to take in the next life, nor even why he is living in a particular type of body. This requires a great amount of knowledge. It's not just, we're changing body. Okay. But it requires a great amount of knowledge to understand this, the subtle workings of material nature. That is understood from Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita gives a tremendous overview of the whole process, which that knowledge is, it's in the Upanishads, but it's all collected together here in the Bhagavad Gita. And it is elaborated upon also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but in the Gita we have all the basic knowledge of the nature of the soul and how it's transmigrating. So it really is the key to all spiritual knowledge. It is there in Bhagavad Gita. And in fact, if you read the Upanishads without an expert guide, you're likely to get more confused. So the Gita is really the essence of knowledge. This requires a great amount of knowledge, Srila Prabhupada writes, understood from Bhagavad Gita and similar literatures, heard from a bona fide spiritual master. One who is trained to perceive all these things is fortunate. It requires some training. Again, it's not just a matter of belief. One has to be trained to see with the eyes of knowledge. Jnana chakshusha, vimurha nanupashanti. Those who are greatly foolish, they cannot see. Anupashanti means seeing through the disciplic succession. Or it can mean constantly seen. But unless one has the eye of knowledge, which comes from training, one can't see. And things actually properly as they are. And that's why we see in Western philosophy, it is very developed in many ways. There are many highly intelligent and perceptive philosophers, but they fail to grasp this basic question, this basic point, and therefore they identify themselves with the body and with the mind and with the country. Not all identify themselves with their country. Some have a more that's a low standard of philosophy, even by Western standards. But with the body and the mind, and they consider themselves to be human, and very few of them even understand the basic point that we shouldn't be killing animals and inflicting pain on other living beings. So it's, although there is a lot of sophistication in some ways, in other ways it's extremely gross, based on this misunderstanding. Among the influential philosophers of the recent times. When we talk about philosophy, when we say recent times, even in the Western concept, that means in the last 100 or 200 years. So, extremely influential philosopher. One of the most influential, undoubtedly, has been Nietzsche, the German philosopher, who didn't have any systematic philosophy, but he was the champion of think for yourself and don't accept any authority and realize yourself. A lot of emphasis on the self without ever understanding what the self is. One of his famous works was called Human, All Too Human. So, like most of the philosophers, deliberating on the human condition, the Western philosophers, but without ever really thinking to define what it means to be a human, and just presuming that human means this body and the mind that goes with it, that's born and it dies and that's it, finished. Although some may say that, well, the Christians the Christians are not part of the Christian voice is not very strongly represented in modern philosophy at all. There was the Christian existentialist philosopher, Kierkegaard. But then the existentialism got taken over by atheists. So, what is a human? Am I a human? Most people would think that's a stupid question. Of course I'm a human, but if we understand that we're not the body, then the answer is no, we're not a human. It seems like the most obvious thing. I am a human being, but it's not. It's not a fact. It's a basic misconception which anyone will fall into unless they have this knowledge, unless they're given this knowledge. It's not difficult with a little guided introspection to understand that we're not the body. This Srila Prabhupada's famous. Test of who am I, which can be done with children. It's almost a childish game. Point at my head. My head means the person who's pointing. You ask the child, point and say this is my head. Point and say this is my chest. Point and say this is my left shoulder. Point and say this is my nose. Point and say, this is me. Who is me? Where is me? Plus that, the example from Bhagavad Gita that Krishna gives, or derived from what Krishna gives, that the body is always changing, but the mind is always changing, but the person remains the same. So, dehino smiñyatha dehe kaumarang yovanang jara tata. The body changes from boyhood to youth to old age. Death is another change. The person hasn't changed. Someone who is sober can understand this and is not bewildered by it. So, the whole world is bewildered by this because they're not sober, they're not dhira, and they don't have this basic knowledge. Which makes all the rest of their knowledge parabhavastavada bodhajata yavanna jignyasata atmatattva. Means it's all defeated. Everything we do without this knowledge, as long as we're not awakened to the actual fact of who we are, what we are, then all our endeavors are defeated, and our talk of morality and human rights and all this, it's all based on a misunderstanding and a misconception. Just like, for instance, the discussion of abortion. in America, there's a lot of opposition to it. It's legal, but there's a lot of opposition to it. The idea is that anyway, it's just a piece of flesh. It's not a human. And the woman should have the right to control her body. That's a morals. It's a moral argument, but it's based on ignorance. And Christians try to combat that by saying, well, that's against the will of God. But they don't have any clear understanding either. So there can't be any proper morals or understanding of the purpose of life, or even how to... The big thing that they talk about is improving the human condition. But the whole idea of improving the human condition so that we can live peacefully in this world is all based on a misunderstanding. There are many persons in history of the world, especially in India, who have been very serious about improving their own condition, have undertaken severe austerities. And you may say, well, how does that improve their condition? They're not eating properly, they're not sleeping properly, they're uncomfortable. Yeah, they're doing that so that they can become free from material attachments and get a better condition in the future life. But people, vimura, because they can't see this, the foolish people, they decry religion and say, why are you depriving yourself? You only live once, enjoy. And they don't see that the enjoyment leads to suffering. The more one tries to enjoy, the more one suffers. The more one... That's a fact. That the more one tries to enjoy the senses, the more one suffers. Yehi sangsparsha ja bhoga. Yehi sangsparsha ja bhoga. Dukha yena evateya dhyantavanta kontaya na teshu ramate buddha. It's a fact that if we try to enjoy the senses, then we suffer. And the... those who are cognizant of this, they often come to the wrong conclusion that the less we enjoy, then the less we'll suffer. But, well, that's a partial conclusion, but the proper Vaishnava conclusion is to engage the senses in the service of Krishna. And it's not by merely abstaining from work, Krishna says, can one become even free from material attachments? By ceasing to produce gross karma doesn't mean that we're liberated from the material condition. So there are so many points to be understood. As Srila Prabhupada writes here, that one has to take training to understand this knowledge. Even if we understand there is life after death and rebirth again and again, we can still come to very wrong conclusions, like the Mimamsakas in Vedic culture. Their understanding is that, okay, we get life after life. If we do good work, then we'll go to the heavenly planets. So let's do good work and do pious activity and go to the heavenly planets. And they don't see that. They don't accept that this condition is inherently miserable. And they don't accept that there is a spiritual existence beyond this repeated birth and death. So, as Srila Prabhupada writes, it's those who are highly developed in Krishna consciousness, they try to give this knowledge to others. It's not easy, as Srila Prabhupada writes here. I'll just give a little quote from Srila Prabhupada's purport to Canto 6, Chapter 1, Text 6 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because of Vaishnav, fully takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he personally has no problems. But because he is compassionate toward the fallen conditioned souls, he is always thinking of plans to save them from their hellish life in this body and the next. Parikshit Maharaj therefore anxiously wanted to know from Shukadev Goswami how humanity can be saved from gliding down to hell. Shukadev Goswami had already explained how people enter hellish life, and he could also explain how they could be saved from it. Intelligent men must take advantage of these instructions. Unfortunately, however, the entire world is lacking Krishna consciousness, and therefore people are suffering from the grossest ignorance and do not even believe in a life after this one. This is the grossest ignorance. People say, if you don't go to school, then you have to go to school so you can get a good job. But they go to school, they study, and they work hard for 15, 20 years studying, and they're still in the grossest ignorance. Because they don't even know this basic fact. They don't believe in a life after this one, because they have some propaganda that life is, by science we've understood everything, and by science we didn't find any Atma, so that means there's no Atma. A completely foolish conclusion. Continuing this quote, to convince them of their next life is very difficult, because they have become almost mad in their pursuit of material enjoyment. Nevertheless, our duty, the duty of all sane men, is to save them. It's very difficult because they have such wrong ideas, which they presume to be right. On the principle of Sangat Sanjayate Kamaha, our desires develop according to our association, and the association people get from birth is that of a materialistic culture which has no idea of life after death, or even if they do have an idea, they have very wrong ideas or very vague ideas, and people are just carried along. People, Srila Prabhupada writes in this Bhagavad Gita, in the one Prabhupada, people in general are not very intelligent. That's a sutra which applies. It's observable. People in general are not very intelligent. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport to the Tadbhag Visargo verse in the Bhagavatam that the mass of people are like pawns in the hands of the leaders, and people are just influenced by whatever the leaders or what the general culture serves up to them. They take it to be real and a fact. You can see that people can be influenced very easily. Their whole way of thinking can change. Just like in Germany in the 1920s, there were many Jews, and Germans were living with Jews. And in the 1930s, the Germans started rounding up and killing the Jews. Why did they start doing that? Because they were influenced to do so by propaganda. They didn't think to do it themselves. But by propaganda, they got the idea that the Jews are the great enemies. And because propaganda was made, that's all. Because of propaganda, the people are ready to go to war. People, even though they know that, for instance, smoking is very detrimental to their physical health, and they are interested in physical health because they want to enjoy their body, but still they smoke a cigarette. Why? Because of propaganda. People are like sheep, they just follow. This is Sai Baba, how it became popular. Someone said, oh, very good, and then someone else said, very good, and someone else said, very good, and there's no out of all these millions of people who have pictures of Sai Baba in their house and go to Sai Baba temples and think that Sai Baba is God, although they never really thought what God means, did any of them ever stop to think, you know, what actually is going on here? What's the purpose of it? Or what's the result of worshipping Sai Baba? How come Sai Baba is not mentioned in any Shastra, or that our forefathers, they never were, they just don't think, okay, Sai Baba, and worship. It's just, people are just stupid. So, Vimurha, they don't have any clear knowledge. Therefore, Vimurha Nanupashan, they don't clearly see, and therefore they're just great fools, and it manifests in different ways, either as the Hindu worshipping Sai Baba, or the Westerner who has no idea of any reincarnation, or the Buddhist who accepts his reincarnation but doesn't accept there's any Atma. It's all foolishness. Foolishness means lack of lack of knowledge and lack of understanding. So it's the duty of devotees to educate others in this. In the purport we read yesterday, Srila Prabhupada wrote about the approaching a learned philosopher like Vyasadeva. So Krishna conscious preaching, we often think it's just go out and get people to chant Hare Krishna, but it's a lot more than that. We have to educate them. Even Sai Baba followers, they'll chant Hare Krishna, but they won't get the same benefit as someone who is clearly educated in what are the facts of spiritual life, beginning with this essential point that there is reincarnation, birth after birth, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. And what are the implications of that? That this life has no intrinsic importance, but human life is, although it has no intrinsic importance, it doesn't, that means it doesn't matter whether I'm a king or a rickshaw puller or whatever, it has no intrinsic importance. It doesn't matter whether tata mana apamana yoho, it doesn't matter whether people honor me or dishonor me, these things don't matter. But human life is important. Tadapya dhruvam artadam durlabang manushang janma tadapya dhruvam artadam. It is important because it affords an opportunity to understand all these things and act in such a way that we don't get born again. So this education is needed. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments about this, please? Hare Krishna.